Pizza City is brought to you by Grande Cheese. Any pizza maker will tell you, besides the crust, the cheese is the most important part of the pie. So why not use the best? Grande was founded in 1941 by Filippo Candela. He had moved to Wisconsin from Italy to pursue his passion for cheesemaking. He named the company Grande because it's the Italian word for greatness. Grande secures milk from local dedicated family farms. They work closely with them to help them monitor cow health and milk quality. Plus, their cheeses are all natural. That means their mozzarella has only four ingredients: pasteurized milk, cheese culture, salt, and enzymes. They produce a full line of Italian cheeses, not only part skim and whole milk mozz, but also ricotta, provolone, parmesan, and romano, sold as loaves, shreds, dices, and slices. Robert Garvey is the owner and pizzaiolo at Robert's Pizza and Dough Company in Chicago. Named recently as one of the top 50 pizzerias in the world, he goes through thousands of balls of mozzarella every week.
The Grande mozzarella is on 99% of our pizzas. And it really, no matter what kind of ingredients we put on it, everything from duck to short rib to classics like sausage and pepperoni, it works. And it works really well.
So use the cheese the best pizza makers use. Request a sample at grandecheese.com or give them a call at 1-800-8-GRANDE. That's 1-800-8-G-R-A-N-D-E. Your pies will never look and taste so good.
This is, I think, what led us where we are today. It's obviously been a journey of 10 years, and I don't know if that can be shortened, but from the very beginning to go deep dive into Japanese culture and learn maybe faster, if that's actually possible.
Perched high above Tokyo, a Roman-born chef has created the city's first omakase, or tasting menu, for pizza. A journey through different doughs and applications, but all the while maintaining a high level of execution based on years of experience in the kitchen. The story behind the pizza bar on 38th, straight ahead.
Straight fire pepperoni.
I need a deep dish pepperoni and a thin sausage to go.
Can I get two cheesivores and one Detroit?
Can I get one large pep, one large sausage, and one large pep special?
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Dolinsky, author of Pizza City USA, The Ultimate Chicago Pizza Guide, and founder of Pizza City Tours and Pizza City Fest. Welcome, everybody. Great to have you along with us for this Thanksgiving edition of Pizza City. Hope you all have a wonderful or had a wonderful Thanksgiving. This is airing the day after Thanksgiving, so gobble, gobble. I know you're deep into the leftovers or you're ordering pizza today. We started going worldwide last year with trips to London and Amsterdam, and more recently, this past year, Berlin and Italy. Well, this week, dear listener, very excited to share part of my Tokyo experience with you. I was in Japan for just over a week and really only had 2 days in Tokyo, but made the most of it. I got into Pizza Marumo the night I arrived, thank you Yukari Sakamoto for that connection, and was just fascinated by the stretching technique and the toppings they used. Dried sardines, katsuobushi, that's smoked and dried skipjack tuna, also called bonito, as well as mackerel and konbu, a type of seaweed. Lots of umami, and boy, was it delicious. Then I was able to wrangle the executive chef at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, Daniele Casson, who has been working on a project called the Pizza Bar on 38th the last 10 years, as well as the other restaurants on property. They just switched over to an omakase experience, which mirrors what Franco Pepe is doing in Italy at Pepe and Grani. I didn't have a chance to experience that, unfortunately, but Casson did spend some time with me, showing me three different types of pizzas he makes at the restaurant, all of them just so delicious and really employing his knowledge of flour and fermentation. We started off, as we always do, asking our guest about their first pizza memory.
It would be a pizza I had in the street, because pizza alla pala or pizza in teglia is a street food in Rome. And it was my merenda, so it's what I was taking to school, the white base, because it's the most affordable one, and you can buy a large piece for very, very little money, and this is the first memory I have.
Which is really pizza's origins, right? Walking around with a stufa and selling out, you know, for a couple of pennies was these pizzas that were made earlier. So you're eating at room temperature.
Yeah, at room temperature, we call this pizza bianca. So it's just the dough, olive oil, salt, baked, that's it. And that was, as a kid, what we could afford.
So. Oh, no marinara even?
No tomatoes. That was the most affordable one. Of course, then the rossa was the next, and then the tomato and cheese, the margherita was, you know, the price was going up.
And give us a little education about Roman pizza. I know there's Roman al taglio, which is by the cut, which I've seen at Bonci. There's Roman al metro, by the meter. There's Roman tavern, which is thin and crispy. There's, you mentioned, alla palla. Are there that many differences, or is it all kind of the same thing described different ways?
So alla palla and al taglio are, and intaglia, those three type of pizza are very similar. One is baked in a tray, another one is baked straight in the bottom of the oven, and the al taglio is just a way of saying cut. So both those style of pizza get cut. Then there is a pizza romana, which is the pizza that is very, very thin and very crispy, and that's a completely different category because it's a different dough. It's a different way of punching the dough down. It can be either by hand or by using a rolling pin. But pizza romana and pizza alla palla or intaglia are two different games.
So we're here at the Mandarin Oriental in Tokyo. As you said, you're the executive chef. You oversee different restaurants here. You're wearing a toque. You're clearly a chef. How did you get into pizza, though? What was your background culinarily?
So my background, it's a chef background. I started cooking in Rome. I did culinary school in Rome, and I work in some of famous restaurants in the city of Rome, like La Pergola with Heinz Beck. Now he has 3 Michelin star in Rome. I made my way up in London, and I work in the city in a French restaurant. So I have a French cooking background. Then I decided to open my own restaurant in Rome, by the seaside of Rome, called Il Tino, and who earned a Michelin star 3 years after. And then I moved on again. I decided to join hotel because I wanted to have more work in more structured environment. So I joined as a chef de cuisine the Four Seasons in Bangkok, the Four Seasons in Cairo, in Egypt. And then I came to Mandarin Oriental Tokyo as executive sous chef. And I had 3 projects to oversee. One was the pizza bar. Another one was the Italian restaurant. Another one was a restaurant that back then was a buffet restaurant on the second floor.
How much were you working on bread baking or pizza making along the way?
Very little.
Interesting. So this sort of sparks your interest as you get here in Tokyo and you have this pizza bar, you really start jumping into pizza research.
Correct.
Okay. Knowing what you, of course, had as a child or when you were younger in Rome, bringing that experience with you, but then having all this other experience, knowing French cooking, knowing Southeast Asian, I'm guessing. How did that influence what you do here at the pizza bar?
I think that is one of the strength and unique aspect of the way we do pizza here at the pizza bar. Having so much exposure to different cuisine, to fine cuisine, also allow me to have a more critical thinking on the pizza. And the technical background helped me to elevate even a simple tomato sauce or even a simple element on a pizza. And that's, I feel, how we can take pizza to a different level.
Tell me a little bit about how you think about creating an omakase or offering something that's a little bit more unique for pizza.
We are very fortunate in Japan because Japan is a very rich country in terms of produce. So we have combined the high quality of the dough with the high quality of the products of Japan. And that combined together make an experience worthwhile for a guest that has the highest expectation that come to Tokyo. And along the sushi restaurant bookings and the kaiseki, they also want to have a seat at the pizza bar. So we are fully booked 3 months in advance. And all our guests come with the highest expectation.
From what I've gathered from my research before I came to Japan, I saw a lot of Neapolitan-style pizzas done in wood-fired ovens for 60 to 90 seconds, which is very Neapolitan. But then, of course, the toppings are very Japanese. One example, I went to Marumo, And they would have dried sardines or mackerel or dashi or kombu. So very Japanese on top. But at its core, it's Neapolitan. Here, you're taking a very different approach, doing the Roman a la Paula. Tell me about kind of what you do with this dough, because it is a little bit different than the high heat wood-fired ovens I've seen elsewhere.
We use a blend of five flours, all organic, all from Italy. We make two different blends for two different use. One is used for cheese-based pizza and seasonal pizzas. So those are the pizzas that require more flavor in the dough because there is more cooking. We use puree, we use semi-dry item, we use many layers of ingredients, and we want the dough to be a bit more tasty. And then we have a dough for tomato-based pizzas, and those are lighter. We want the dough to be lighter because the tomato itself doesn't need so much structure and flavor. It's a delicate type of taste. I hydrate the dough at 80% in both cases. We use 100% Italian ingredient. We choose to use San Pellegrino water. We use organic olive oil. The dough is 100% organic. And that just to, you know, reflect the passion for high quality ingredients. Fermented 48 hours.
And using rye, right?
We use rye, yeah. Because I learned from my testing experience that the most tasty bread is the German bread, the rye bread, 80% or 90% rye. The bread we eat for breakfast or the sourdough often have a lot of rye inside. Why? Because rye bring flavors.
Walk me through the first two pizzas here. The first one you did, it was you split it in half. It looked like it was baked in a pan, par baked in a sheet pan, and then you split it in half. What did you do then?
So the pizzino is a double baked pizza. So we cook it in two different steps. The first time we pre-ferment the dough and we select an area that is perfectly even. We place it on a tray, punch it in a specific way, and then we'll let it proof again. So it looks like a focaccia, but it's perfectly even. It looks easy, but it's not easy at all, actually.
You're showing me a square that's about 4 inches square, and it's probably an inch and a half high, and the crumb you can see clearly. But yes, it is very even across the top, and it's kind of an even, light tan, light brown color, with speckled with, I guess, that rye flour in there.
Look how light it is as well.
It's very spongy and light. Okay, so you split this in half, and then you rub some mascarpone, and yes. Then a little black olive.
Mascarpone produced in Japan from Chiba Prefecture, provolone, mozzarella fior di latte, parmigiano, and this is a pizza always finished with fresh truffle and Japanese spring onion.
So you bake it open-faced, and then you covered it like a sandwich, and then when it came out, you did a lot of post-bake. You added, what, some more parmigiano in here?
We put parmigiano, and then we toast it again, so it gets crispy, and then we cut in small square, and we finish with olive oil, Japanese spring onion called banno negi, fresh truffle, and truffle oil.
That was fantastic. Just, I mean, incredible. Really, one of the best things I've eaten this year. I've been very lucky, both in Montreal and here in Tokyo. And then you did a second one. And tell me about this dough process. You brought the dough ball out and you had it sort of sitting in this mound of flour. And then you just gently, very gently, with like two or three fingers, pressing it out. Why?
So the dough is fermented very well. So it's full of pockets of hair. And we are very gentle when we punch it to preserve some of those pockets of air that in the oven will expand and will maintain the pizza light and fragrant and crispy.
Peeling every little cherry tomato.
So that when you eat the cherry tomato without the skin, you don't have the skin annoying, because actually without the skin, the tomato tastes much better.
I want to back up a little bit. I want to talk about the tomatoes again. Just tell me where they're from again and how you source them.
Tomato sauce is made with tomatoes San Marzano Solania. San Marzano is a DOP, so it can be grown only in a very specific area called Sarni, which is just 45 minutes driving from Napoli.
And you're spreading this out on a round dough, but the dough is essentially kind of the same that you would make the pizza alla Paola, the Roman style pizza, but you've turned it into a round.
Yes, we turn it into a round because we serve the pizza omakase style. So one pizza serve 8 people. So this pizza will be sliced in 8, and then we will serve one slice per guest.
Okay, so after the cherry tomatoes, this is now the provolone.
This is the provolone. So all our cheese base use three different kind of cheese. So even this is the simple margherita, actually goes actually four different kind of cheese. We use provolone, we use mozzarella fior di latte.
From Italy?
Also from Italy, yes. This is a Latteria Sorrentina. And then we put Parmigiano Vacche Rosse. So the Parmigiano give the strong umami and cheesy taste. And this will be finished with a local buffalo mozzarella that is produced in Chiba. So we work with a cheesemaker. His name is Takeshima-san from a farmer just 90 minutes away from the hotel. And he makes fresh cheese six times a week.
Are there a lot of cheesemakers in Japan that you can source?
Yes, there are. Majority of the cheese making happen in Hokkaido, in Japan, because the weather is it's more appropriate. There's a lot of cows, and you know it's very cold there, so it's good. All the milk produced in Japan come from there. But I'm working with this guy that is actually in Chiba Prefecture, which is just 90 minutes away from the hotel. Again, the stretching take place, you know, very very gently.
And tell me about this oven. It's a gas fire, there's no wood here, stone deck. About how hot is it? Are you baking here? I guess you're going to do Celsius.
Yes, I will do Celsius, 250 for the bottom and 360 for the top. So it's a very gentle cooking compared to pizza napoletana that bake a 600-700. Our pizza take 5 to 10, depending on what the toppings are.
When you have the pizza that you build on like a sheet of looks like paper, much easier to get your peel underneath it. Even though you're working on a marble surface, is it easier to get your peel on it?
Yes, the paper is, we use it as a minimum transportation to avoid stressing unnecessarily the dough, because typically the chef pull the dough onto the pizza peel, and that eventually will stress the dough in a way or another, because the pull kills some of the pockets of hair, which the paper help you to preserve. So instead of having pockets of air only in the crust, our pizza has pockets of air on the entire surface, even the surface where we put the sauce and the topping.
Is that a special type of paper that you're building it on?
It's a high quality paper that resists at high temperature. We're looking at the crust start to get a little bit colored, and the bottom as well. You see the bottom is nicely.
Oh, the bottom looks great.
You can hear from the sound.
That's a beautiful sound. Look at that. There's just completely firm. It's really thin, splotched and blistered underneath, holds its shape. And this is a very small triangle you're showing me. And there's absolutely no tip sag. That is really impressive, chef. I'm just holding it by the heel here.
It's got a bit more tomatoes, but it's still holding so well.
It's interesting. You have these, the crumb, the open air pockets throughout this slice as you look from sort of tip to heel. And it does remind me of Donnie Malozzi in Montreal, the last time I'd seen this, kind of that even crumb throughout, not just on the heel. Now you're placing a little bit of fresh buffalo mozzarella.
So this is a buffalo mozzarella that is produced in Japan. It's super fresh. So I rather had it after the pizza is baked to keep the juiciness. And then this is finished with a little bit of basil and a good olive oil, salt and pepper, and that's good to go.
Oh my God, like it looks so simple. When you're looking at it from above, it looks like, oh, it's tomatoes and cheese and basil. And you bite into it and it's juicy and the acidity pops from the tomatoes and that fresh, creamy buffalo mozzarella and that crispy, crunchy crust that's a little bit brushed with oil on the outside. There are so many great flavors happening at the same time.
Every element has been studied and we have tested it and we do a lot of tastings and we think how we can elevate even a simple pizza like the margherita.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking with Daniele Cassone here at the Mandarin Oriental at the Pizza Bar on 38. He's going to take me through one more pizza he's going to make for us. And then we're going to preview some scenes from our next show coming up in 2 weeks. So stay with us. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're here at the Mandarin Oriental in Tokyo, Japan, 38th floor. At the pizza bar, and we're with Daniele Casson, and he is executive chef here at the restaurant. He oversees all the restaurants here at the hotel, and we've made two so far. This is going to be the third one now. This is a seasonal pizza, right?
Yes, seasonal pizza. It's a very good time of the year because we have porcini mushroom.
Well, outstanding. I picked a good time to be here. Okay, so because we're in the fall, obviously. Here's the porcinis. These are from nearby?
The porcini are from Hokkaido. It's very rare to get porcini from Japan, so this is our third delivery this year. Smells really good.
Okay, so the first pizza was the alla palla, the squares, and then you slit in half and opened up. The second pizza was the same type of dough but made into a round. Now for this third one, what are you going to do with this?
I'm going to use the dough that has a higher percentage of rye. It's more flavorful and it will hold better the combination of ingredients I want to use for this pizza.
Oh, I didn't ask you. So to tell me about the type of flour you use again.
00, semolina, rye, and a strong flour called La Furia Italiana.
From which producer?
Mulino Marino.
Okay. And you use a commercial yeast or an all-natural starter?
Dry yeast.
Dry yeast, okay.
I choose to use dry yeast because it's more consistent.
Yeah. Okay, so now you've got it in the little flour pocket, and now you're just pressing with two fingers around the perimeter, but leaving that cornicione, and it looks like a giant ravioli at this point. And now he's pressing down two more fingers in the middle, adding a little bit of flour, pressing two more fingers down the middle, and slowly beginning to stretch it in the flour bed, if you will, slowly pressing it out, but preserving lots of the air pockets in there. That is just amazing, Chef, to see you do that. And now he's lifting it up, finally now two hands, two fists, doing a little bit of a hand stretch, but super, super gentle to preserve the air. And now he's transferring it over to the marble surface. And that was just so interesting to watch. And now here comes this sheet of paper, for the German sheet of paper, and you're going to transfer it onto the paper. And that, again, protects it from stressing and allows you to get it onto your peel easily. And then what?
If you observe at this stage, you can actually see the pockets of air that are even in the entire surface. So those are the pockets of air that in the oven will expand and will keep the pizza crispy and light.
So much air in there. I love it. So this is a two-day ferment in the refrigerator?
Correct. 2 days of fermentation.
Okay. And now what's coming first here? This looks like a porcini, some kind of a sauce.
Yes. This is a porcini mushroom puree, which we make ourselves. Shredded provolone cheese.
Not very much provolone, just a little bit it looked like. And now this is
This is taleggio.
Taleggio.
I love taleggio and porcini. For me, taleggio and porcini is the ultimate combination. And some mozzarella fior di latte.
And you're kind of, it looks like it drained a little bit. You don't want to have a lot of moisture on there, right?
The milky part, it's always in excess. It's not so good on a pizza because make the pizza wet.
Okay, he's just adding some sea salt now to the... Oh, you're going to stretch it a little bit.
I'll stretch it later, yes. It will get to about 30 centimeters.
Okay. Now this beautiful copper container of olive oil he's going to add to these porcinis that are sliced very thin with a little bit of sea salt in there. And you're going to just, I'm guessing, do a handful. Oh, that's a large... Wow, that's the whole thing. The whole bowl is going on top of there.
So one pizza, we use 140 grams of porcini.
I have no idea how much that is, but it's a big mound. It's like a softball size, like a 12-inch, if you're from Chicago, softball size. Okay, now he's going to hand stretch a little bit more to pull it out to probably, 12 to 14 inches, it looks like. And then, again, since it's on the paper, his metal peel is going to go underneath the paper. And now because he's done a little bit more of a hand stretch, he's going to spread out the porcinis a little bit more to go to the edges. It looks like a lot of topping. I know the mushroom will cook down a little bit, and then you're going to grate on some Parmigiano?
Yes, some Parmigiano. We always finish the pizza with some Parmigiano.
Now, one thing that concerns me, raw mushrooms have a lot of moisture in them. As they cook, they'll expel water.
Yes.
You're not worried about all that water hitting on the pizza?
No, because our baking time is quite long, and you will see now that the mushroom will lose a lot of their volume, but the pizza will not be wet at all.
Okay. Okay, so with, I don't know, a minute or so left, you remove the paper and then you put the pizza back directly on the hearth Why do that? Just to finish the bottom?
It's just to finish the bottom, yes.
Okay, because the paper inhibits that. Oh, I can smell the mushrooms. Fills the whole kitchen here, even though it's an open kitchen. It holds its shape, even though with all the topping, yeah. It's not wet, it's perfectly firm.
There's a nice amount of topping in it on it.
God, it smells amazing. And now you're going to finish it with porcini dust?
Porcini
powder,
yes, homemade. Help to develop the flavor for the nose.
Yep.
So before you eat this, it hits your nose.
Yep. And then
before
a little
you start eating
porcini oil.
The oil is, the fat is important to keep the taste longer in the mouth. And then we have some peperone crusco. Peperone crusco is a bell pepper that have been deep fried, dried, and then turned into a powder and mixed with olive oil.
Okay, that sounds great.
It's not spicy at all, but has a nice, a very good flavor.
You said pepperoni. I was like, what? I mean, a pepperoni.
Yeah.
People know that if you ask for pepperoni in Italy, they'll just give you a pepper, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and then fresh marjoram?
Then fresh marjoram.
Oh, this is gorgeous.
And salt and olive oil.
Take a quick taste. It is amazing how so many flavors on the pizza lead to this beautiful harmony, this symphony, if you will, of flavor. Hold the slice up. It holds its shape with all that mushroom on there, plus the cream, plus the pepperoni sauce you added. I mean, it just all works together so well. It's the same dough that you used at the beginning that was the pan style, the alla palla, but done in a round.
Yes.
And the crispy and the crunchiness. Oh.
Same dough, just working with two different techniques. But both, the principle is the same. We use this dough for pizzas that have many layers of ingredients that require more structure and more support.
Okay, final question, Chef. We ask all of our guests on the show. Knowing what you know now about pizza making, and you certainly learned a lot in the 10 years you've been doing this, what would you have told yourself 11 years ago to be successful making pizzas?
I could have learned Japan culture faster.
Like understanding the shokunin, the master, the craftsmanship of making anything?
Yes, because this is, I think, what led us where we are today. It's obviously been a journey of 10 years, and I don't know if that can be shortened, but from the very beginning to go deep dive into Japanese culture and learn maybe faster, if that's actually possible.
Great advice. Listen, the restaurant again is Pizza on 38. It's on the 38th floor of the Mandarin Oriental here in Tokyo. You've got to make a reservation at least a couple months in advance because you fill up lunch and dinner. It's an omakase only now for both. And come see Chef Daniele. Really, what an experience this has been. I've learned so much about three different types of pizza here with two different types of dough from one gentleman in Rome that has really adopted this sort of Japanese shokunin approach, this master approach to refining one's craft. Daniele Cassone, thank you so much. Grazie mille.
Grazie mille. It's been a pleasure meeting you. Thank you for your time and thank you for, you know, making time to come and visit me.
A very hearty arigato gozaimasu to the staff as well for helping facilitate that wonderful hour or so spent with Daniele. All right, coming up in 2 weeks, we are back in Chicago near Northwestern University's campus in Evanston for some deep dish and classic tavern style.
I grew up in the pizza business where they did everything with hot water, right? Back in the day, we made dough, we made with warm water. And they sit it there and they let it proof. Then they push it down, it proof again. And that's how we did the dough back in the 70s and 80s. Now we've learned that dough making is just a science. So it's time, temperature, and, you know, consistency.
I'll talk with Lenny Rago, the force behind Panino's Pizza, now with three locations in the Chicago area. That's in 2 weeks on December 8th. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend and rate us, please. Also, reminder to support the show at anchor.fm/Pizza City. We're at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here's wishing you an optimal bite ratio always.